10 now on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A. It's Talk of the Town. Today is Prescott Day. Talk of the Town is sponsored by Barrett Propane, Gettles High Desert Mechanical, A&E Reaper Graphics, Prescott Dirt, Janessa's Family Hair Care, Augie's, Cliff Castle Casino, House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Brewing Company, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, and Olson's for Healthy Animals. Now, live from the studios of KQ&A, here's your host for today's show, Sherry Heine.
Well, you didn't get Sherry Heine, you got me. Hello, everyone, and thank you for listening to the Talk of the Town at KQ&A, 1130 AM and 99.9 FM in Prescott, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, and streaming live worldwide at KQNA.com. I'm Don Demendorf, Division Chief and Fire Marshal over the Community Risk Reduction Division for the Prescott Fire Department, and I'm going to be your guest host today. We have an important show for you today. We'll be speaking to my boss, Fire Chief Dennis Light of the Prescott Fire Department, and Dr. Michael Orr, Chair of the Prescott Area Wildland Urban Interface Commission, or PAWIC, which we will talk about and try to figure out what that means here in a couple minutes.
This is Dave Barrett of Barrett Propane. We support several local activities, and the Kiwanis Auction is one of my favorites. For 70 years, the Kiwanis Auction has raised money for the kids of our community. Help the kids and get great deals by tuning in to the Kiwanis Auction weeknights, March 26th through April 6th, between 7 and 10 p.m. on Cable Channel 64 or streaming live on the web at PrescottKiwanisAuction.com. You'll find great deals on food, golf, tools, furniture, clothing, sports tickets, and more. You can get almost anything at the Kiwanis Auction, and yes, you can even buy propane from Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
When someone comes into Prescott Brewing Company and asks which domestic beers we have available, they're usually looking for one of the macro beers that took over the brewing industry after Prohibition. But while those beers are still produced in America, the companies that produce them are no longer American-owned. We offer you a variety of premium domestic beers brewed right here in Prescott, Arizona. How much more domestically made can you get? Made in America and American-owned. Prescott Brewing Company, real beer, real food, real people, and real local.
Are you looking for the perfect place to get all your printing done? Whether it's preserving precious family photos or vinyl graphics for your work truck, A&E Reaper Graphics has you covered as your local one-stop print shop. Having served Northern Arizona for over 15 years, our customer service is unparalleled as we take care of both your personal and professional printing jobs. From brochures to baby shower invites, A&E Reaper Graphics is your one-stop print shop.
You're invited to Waters Garden Center's 56th Spring Open House.
Last week's storm stalled the celebration, so we decided to keep on celebrating.
We have even more spring plants to show off. New for 2018, drawings and more.
Saturday's 9:30 class is titled Spring Trees and How to Grow Trees Better.
All weekend, there's giveaways, access to local plant experts, and hot dogs on the grill.
Join the fun at Waters' 56th Spring Open House all week long.
Windfall Willie here. Picture this. You're driving around and visit an Arizona Lottery retailer. You walk to the counter and read, Fast Play, a new way to play and win instantly. Intriguing. You ask for a Fast Play ticket, it prints. You look and you win instantly. You cash out and drive home in style. Play for lightning fast wins starting at just a buck with Fast Play from the Arizona Lottery.
You do your best to protect your loved ones, and while you may keep a fresh battery in your smoke detector and have a reliable home security system, there's a whole different type of protection you may be missing. A life insurance policy from Auto Owners Insurance is a way to safeguard your loved ones now and in the future. Meet with your local independent agent and secure a policy today to protect theirs tomorrow. Hi, this is Corey Roseman with House Chilson Insurance. We are one of the only locally owned independent insurance agencies in Prescott. Come see us today at 400 White Spire Road or call 445-4600.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, Sherry Heine.
And once again, it's not Sherry Heine. Don Devendorf, Division Chief with the Prescott Fire Department, here this afternoon with you with Dr. Michael Orr, the leader of PAWIC, and Fire Chief Dennis Light of the City of Prescott Fire Department. And this afternoon, we're going to discuss the upcoming wildland season, and we're going to discuss things that we can do as a community to be ready for the upcoming wildland season, and things we can do that throughout the year can keep us more safe. I don't know how many people are recognizing when you're looking in the paper these days that we're having wildland fires now. I just left the scene of a house where someone was burning pine needles with a torch, which, by the way, if you live in Central Arizona Fire and Medical Area or the city of Prescott, you are not allowed to use a torch for burning. But that aside, a few pine needles got into some dry brush underneath the house, and we had to tear the siding off the house. I had a quarter-acre wildland fire at the airport a couple days ago, another fire started by a torch in Chino Valley. So when we're talking about wildfire season, folks, we're already there. Normally we're talking about getting into wildfire season when it starts getting warmer and we're starting to go outside, but the vegetation up here in the high desert with the lack of moisture that we've gotten and the low humidities, we're ready to burn right now. So please, please, please practice fire safety and the things you're doing outside. But we're going to go to Dr. Orr, and he's going to talk a lot more about what we can do on the grand scale in order to keep our town safe. So, Dr. Orr, thanks for being here today.
You're welcome.
And as the new leader of PAWIC, I think we should probably say what PAWIC is.
Let me go back as far as a little bit of history. In 1983, there was a fire on Thumb Butte, and three fire departments showed up and found out that their equipment was not compatible with the different fire trucks. They formed the Basin Operations Group, and in 1990, PAWIC, the Prescott Area Wildland Urban Interface Commission, was formed. Granted, that's been a mouthful, very tough name for people for a long time, and we have actually started also utilizing the name Yavapai Firewise. We now have over 35 Firewise committees in the Prescott area, but we do have one in Jerome, and we do have Firewise committees in Crown King. So we have expanded beyond the Prescott area. There are 17,000 properties included in those, I think, now 37 committees. And we've become a very active group, and we incorporate multiple agencies, APS, Arizona State Land Development, Arizona Wildfire and Incident Management Academy, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, Bureau of Land Management, Central Arizona Fire and Medical Authority, the City of Prescott, Groom Creek, Jerome, the Natural Resource Conservation Services, the Office of Emergency Management, Prescott National Forest, University of Arizona Cooperative Extension, the Yavapai County Board of Supervisors, and the Yarnell Fire District, and there are others in addition to those. So this is a very comprehensive group of organizations that are out there trying to prevent fires from hurting Prescott, and our efforts really revolve around terrific fire mitigation procedures that we're trying to carry out not only within the city of Prescott, but also in the Prescott Basin, the entire National Forest area.
Okay, so let's go back a little. We have Firewise communities. What does that mean?
Basically, if you are interested in becoming Firewise, there's a series of steps that you can go through to become an actually certified Firewise committee. One of the nice things about becoming a Firewise committee is that you become eligible to apply for grants, which can make it much more affordable for you to thin your property if you are within the city. And we're also using these grants to do terrific large projects in the National Forest. We have a couple of those projects going on right now. One is called Project Andrew, and that involves 19 acres. It's just off White Spar as you're leaving the south side of town, and it's an unbelievable project where they had about 800 ponderosa pines and are in the process of removing about half of them, creating a much more amazingly healthy forest environment. And this is part of the concept of forward stewardship. There's another project going on called High Valley, where we are removing or mitigating property in a 300-foot wide strip beginning at Thumb Butte Road, going along the National Forest line all the way to the south side of the Prescott, and then along the east, or excuse me, the west side first, and then along the south side past Hidden Valley Ranch. This is a 20-man crew doing that particular job. I just was out there today watching them, and it's really amazing to watch them get rid of this horrible scrub oak, manzanita, mountain mahogany, and other chaparral-type fuels.
Okay, so if you had to just put it in the most simple terms, why does PAWIC exist, and what does PAWIC support?
PAWOC really kind of brings all these organizations together, and we sort of act as the intermediary to get these contracts, and we spend a tremendous amount of time working on these grants and working with the people in the neighborhoods, instructing them on how to become FireWise, and also helping them get estimates on their fire being thin. I think, though, what we're trying to do is promote FireWise behavior, and we're also trying to protect firefighters and people's property. And I have to put that, protect the firefighters at the very top of the list. We can't have these men out there in these incredibly densely thickened areas of chaparral. It's too dangerous for them to be fighting fires out there.
Well, and, you know, even though I'm the host today, I'm going to weigh in a little bit on what you're saying, is that the idea of FireWise is not just to protect homes and property and lives. It's also to keep fires on the ground so that they can be fought. So when you start talking about firewising, we're talking about breaking up the continuity of fuel. We're talking about keeping ground fuels from getting up into the trees where they can then go from treetop to treetop. And we're talking about being able to safely attack fires and try to keep them small, because once they get into the treetops, there is nothing we can do. There's nothing air tankers can do. The wind is going to drive it, and we just have to sit and wait for it to come back down again. So the idea of FireWise, making a FireWise community as neighbors helping neighbors to decrease the chances of a fire becoming catastrophic, because we're going to have fires start. But if we have fires, we keep them from becoming catastrophic, and we make it where we can safely attack them to save lives and property. I get that one right?
I think that's absolutely true. And we have to look at, we are talking about decades when fire was probably over suppressed and the forests were allowed to go from a few trees per acre to, in some cases, thousands of trees per acre, just creating this unbelievably dangerous environment. And another thing to bring up is, a lot of times people think FireWise means moonscaping a property or getting rid of all of the trees and all of the bushes, and that's not what we're doing. Like Don said, we're trying to create a mosaic-type pattern so that firemen could walk around in safely.
And one of the nice things about this is that we're starting to recognize, and I hate to say this because I've been in fire suppression for over 30 years, but what we have done has made the problem bad enough that we really have to jump in on it. Dr. Roy was talking about 19 acres taking out 800 trees. There's going to be some of you out there right now that are going to start doing the math, and you're going, holy cow, that's a lot of trees. Well, a healthy ponderosa pine stand is supposed to have between 40 and 80 trees per acre. You put 300, 400, 500, if you talk to anyone that knows anything about trees, that was one of the reasons why we had the problems with the beetle kill years ago, because we had too many trees competing for water during a drought period, and there wasn't enough hydraulic pressure to keep the beetles from going in. So we've sort of made this problem. So when we go into an area where the trees are unhealthy, there are too many trees per acre, they will carry fire, they will light off because they don't have a lot of fuel moisture, and it's not a healthy environment. So we go in, we clean out the trees, there's more moisture for the trees that are there, and we make it where the ground will not carry fire. Because the other thing about a ponderosa pine stand is it's supposed to burn, I think, every 20 to 30 years. And the bark on ponderosa pine is meant so that it can take that to clear the fire floor, clear the forest floor, so that the fires can go through there and have a healthy environment. And we haven't done well with that through the years.
No, we haven't. And I was out at Project Andrew today, and it just looks so beautiful to see the trees much more separated, and what a healthy environment we're creating out there.
Well, and as you said, when you go in there and look at it when it's done, it's a park-like environment. It's a place where animals can go through. People can look all the way through there, and it looks beautiful. When you talk about taking 800 trees out, you think that it's been a logging operation, but it's far from it. We've actually made it healthier, and if you want to follow Bob Ross, who liked to paint pictures, you made a happier little forest.
Absolutely. The light shining through is beautiful. The exposure of the boulders is just terrific.
Well, we're getting ready to come up on a break here. You're listening to 99.5 FM, 1130 AM, KQNA, Talk of the Town. And we're streaming live worldwide at KQNA.com. And after the break, we'll be right back to speak with Dr. Orr and Chief Light.
We did it again! Castle Casino has been voted the number one casino in Arizona for 19 years in a row. All casinos have slot machines and table games. What they don't have is the level of commitment to guest satisfaction, friendly team members, and a warm and welcoming environment found at Cliff Castle Casino. Visit CliffCastleCasinoHotel.com today and plan your visit. Come and experience everything we have to offer and see why Cliff Castle Casino is number one and the perfect place to play.
Dusty house? Hard to heat or cool rooms? Dollars lost through leaky ductwork? Have Gettles High Desert Mechanical test your home for duct leakage. When it comes to high utility bills, don't settle. Get Gettles. A simple duct seal job with AeroSeal will seal the deal and keep that cool air in your home where it belongs. Call 928-772-2751 or visit GettlesHDM.com. That's GOETTLS. The guys and gals at Gettles get it.
What I like about you.
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
As if the great food and atmosphere weren't a big enough reward for going to Augie's, now you can earn $10 gift cards at lunch, $20 gift cards at dinner. Get your lunch or dinner loyalty card stamped at Augie's. Four lunch stamps earns you a $10 gift card for your next lunch visit, or four dinner stamps earns you $20 toward your next dinner at Augie's. It pays to be loyal at Augie's Frontier Village, the place to dine on Highway 69.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, Sherry Heine.
And once again, I'm your host, Don Devendorf, sitting in this afternoon for the Talk of the Town at KQ&A. And I'm lucky enough to have Dr. Michael Orr, the head of the Prescott Area Wildland Urban Interface Commission, also known as PAWIC, and Fire Chief Dennis Light, my boss from the Prescott Fire Department. And we're discussing wildland fire mitigation, and we're going to be talking about suppression later when we talk to Chief Light. So, Dr. Orr, how did you end up becoming, I know what you did before, how did you end up becoming the head of the Prescott Area Wildland Urban Interface Commission?
I think I'd have to go back first to the tragedy and losing the 19 firemen. That was really probably my most huge impact on realizing what an incredible problem we face in our area when you get too dense of foliage. And really, I think when I first moved here, and I've been here 20 years, I would love to go out to Granite Mountain and sit up at that high point and look back at Thumb Butte and talk about how beautiful it was. And now when I see that, all I see is terror, and that there are way too many trees there. 3 years ago, a neighbor in our neighborhood started a bonfire at midnight and didn't put the fire out. In the morning, the winds were very windy. It was already April, and get to 40, 50 miles an hour sometimes. The fire started back up, and they started the fire right under a pine tree, which was about to light on fire, when the Prescott Fire Department came and saved the day. At that time, a gentleman named Gary Royston was the head of PAWIC. We very quickly became a FireWise committee. Marty Zukowski's been the unbelievably active head of our committee, talking people into mitigating their property. We are Prescott Skyline. We are directly south of Thumb Butte, and we are on the Prescott National Forest border, directly above Hacienda. We have 114 lots, 85 homes, and we, with two of the FireWise projects, have thinned, I believe, over 60 of our properties already, and have changed the look of our community tremendously. And as you already mentioned, we're creating a park-like atmosphere of vacant lots as well as people's property. One of the things I'm trying to do as far as taking over PAWIC from Bob Betts, who is an unbelievably terrific leader the last 3 years, and in fact, Bob was named mitigator of the entire nation last year. And I think that lets you know that Prescott's FireWise community is highly thought of at this point. But I felt a real responsibility to step in for Bob, and I really want to make PAWIC's name, even though it is a difficult name, more known in the community, and get people to realize how incredibly important this organization is for the future of Prescott. Tourism is obviously one of the most important things to us. According to some recent surveys, about 60% of the sales tax in Prescott is from people who are visiting Prescott. I think we really need to work hard to keep this beautiful, safe area as best we can so that we continue to encourage tourism. We continue to win awards constantly. Number one city you should go see, 18 places you should see in America. If we were hit by just a tragic fire, that could incredibly change the impact of Prescott's future, and I don't want that to happen.
Okay, so FireWise, we've talked about FireWise. What kind of, if someone's sitting at home right now, what do we want to get across to them about what it means to be FireWise and how you move forward if you want to become a FireWise committee or a FireWise community?
Well, first, you can contact our office at 277-8032 and get information on how you can become FireWise. You can go online and look up our webpage under either the Powick name or the Yavapai FireWise name. We have a lot of brochures, as do all the organizations, that will provide you information, and I'm sure Chief Light can talk about this more in reference to the zones of safety that should be surrounding people's homes. So I'd say our main thing is probably education, and it's an ongoing, nonstop education process, and I feel very strongly that people in Prescott should feel responsible for creating a fire-safe environment on their property, helping to protect not only themselves, but the neighbors around them. I think we realize that the fire would most likely come from the west, south, or southwest due to the prevailing winds. So we spend a lot of time educating people about how to protect them from that particular situation. And a lot of the efforts we put are obviously in the national forest in those areas to hopefully stop the fire from coming into town. I think the Indian Fire probably would be an example that many people would remember, but we're 15 years out from that fire already, and that tried to come in the south side of town, and if it hadn't been for fuel mitigation efforts that had been done previous to that fire, I think it would have come right into town, right into the Mountain Club, and who knows where it would have stopped.
Well, I was actually on duty that day, and there's no doubt that some of the efforts made to cut down on the fuels and the continuity had a huge effect on whether or not the fire came into the backside of the Mountain Club and Timber Ridge. We did lose a couple homes and structures in Cathedral Pines, which was the first one it hit. But again, at that point, we also sort of got lucky because it got to be later in the day. The temperature decreased, the humidity came up, and the winds cut down. But for anyone that was in town, especially those of us that were driving out Whitespar Road to try to figure out if there was anything we could do, that was a scary time. And like you said before, we recognized, and I know the Chief Light will talk about this later, but, you know, when you live in the Midwest, you worry about tornadoes. You know, when you live in the South, you worry about floods. When you live in the North, you worry about snow. We've got one major threat to us, and it's not going to be any other real environmental issue except for wildland fire, and it could be devastating to our community for decades in the future.
Absolutely, and I think a couple facts that I've talked about at our meetings, and incidentally, we hold meetings at the rodeo grounds on the first Thursday of every month except January and July, and all the organizations get together and we talk about these FireWise concerns. But there are currently, by latest estimates, 130 million dead trees in California. When the Santa Ana winds hit 80 miles an hour during the horrific fires last year, in some areas the fire was moving as fast as 200 feet per second. These are overwhelming fireballs that people have to realize that they really need to be prepared for evacuation, and that's part of the Powick situation as well. And we have different types of evacuation, which can even be a five-minute or less evacuation. So planning things as far as your photos and other things that really mean something to you, people should be doing that way in advance.
Well, and so FireWise is meant for pre-action, cutting down the continuity of fuels, making homes and lives safer or more savable depending on the approaching fire. But like we said, we are going to have fire. So something Dr. Orr just hit on right now is either the Yavapai County Emergency Management website or the Yavapai County Sheriff's Office website. On both of those websites, you will get information about evacuating. You'll get information on ready, set, go in case a wildfire does come into town. But one of the big things you can look at, and like Dr. Orr just said, some of these evacuation notices could be very quick, and there's a sign up on the Yavapai County Sheriff's Office website for a app or a program on your phone called Code Red. A lot of you will remember the old reverse 911 system, which worked really well when everyone had a home phone, because we could take a geographical area and just say the fire was coming in on the south side. We could have it call all of the phones and all of the homes in Timber Ridge if the fire was coming in that way to tell the people to get out. Well, we know there's a very small percentage of people that have home phones anymore. So Code Red, very small amount of information. It doesn't get shared with anyone. It's a proprietary database that just stays with the Yavapai County Sheriff's Office. The technology with it is we can bring up a map in the dispatch center. We can literally draw a picture around a group of homes or a subdivision that is threatened that we need to get pre-notice to or actual get-out notice, and it will call all of the cell phones that are listed for that area. So the Yavapai County Sheriff's Office, Code Red. Also look at the Ready, Set, Go program through the Yavapai County Department of Emergency Management. There's another program. Unfortunately, the program has taken a little bit of a hit recently because of the verbiage to it, where it's too late when told to evacuate. If you take it literally, that's true. What it's supposed to say is if you have not prepared for an evacuation, then by the time you get the call, you're not going to be able to do the things you need to do. And like Dr. Orr was saying, that goes through the P's, photos, paper money, prescriptions, pets. There's a number of things. So please, as we're talking about prevention, we also have to just realize that we are going to have fires. So with the knowledge that we're going to have fires, prevention on the front end, and then safe and smart actions when the fire does come through the area. Because the whole thing about this is saving lives. Property can be replaced. Some of the property that's really important to us, we want to take out the door. But the big thing is to save lives. And with that, save the economy of Prescott from being devastated by a catastrophic wildland fire. So Dr. Orr, if you wanted to sort of put your vision for PAWIC or Yavapai FireWise out to the public, what do you plan on accomplishing through this group? Because the group has done such great work. Like you said, we've overseen, and you know, full disclosure, I'm on the board of directors, overseen hundreds of thousands of dollars of grants so that people could do work on their properties and in their neighborhoods that they didn't have to pay for. And then that is also supported by the City of Prescott, Department of Forestry and Fire Management, things like that. So obviously, helping people get the money, pointing them in a direction, letting them know what they need to do to be FireWise. What do you want to accomplish during your tenure as the head of PAWIC?
Well, I think the things that I really feel are important for PAWIC is, as I said, name recognition. And Bob Betts has told me in the past that we've bought $7.5 million of grants, federal and state grants, to Prescott in the last 10 years alone. But yet the average Prescottonian really probably has never heard of PAWIC and doesn't know the incredibly wonderful things that the group of all of us together are accomplishing. So name recognition, someday I would like to have some sort of storefront recognition. I think we're a very important organization, and we are very kindly given an office space by the City of Prescott Fire Department. We would love to have a little more visibility in the community, so anybody could come to visit us and get brochures, perhaps see the terrific maps we have that outline the community, show you all the FireWise communities, all the incredible projects that we have done that people are, again, pretty much totally unaware of, because I would like this to be the number one FireWise committee in the world, and I would like Prescott to become the number one FireWise city in all of America.
Well, and, you know, we're well on our way. You know, years ago, as we started working, and when we get to Chief Light, we'll talk about the suppression part of this and working with our partners. But I can remember back to where the leader of the Prescott Fire Department at the time, Darrell Willis, was the fire chief, and then Ed Hollingshead, who was running the National Forest, sort of had a vision of this partnership that has not been seen before. So Prescott sort of started the suppression side of wildland fire as the sort of model for the rest of the nation. And it was that original partnership where it didn't really make a difference what color the truck was. What made a difference was saving lives and fighting fire and protecting property. That automatically started the relationships that then went into PAWIC and mitigation. So, you know, we'll get into the part where, you know, what would we rather do, stop the fire or fight the fire, and what are the reasons for that? But the key to this is people have come in from all over the nation to watch the way we suppress fires in this area, because the seamless way in which local, county, state, and federal units come together in this area, it's a model for everyone else. So like what
Absolutely.
You're saying, when we're getting to PAWIC, it's pretty much the same thing. When you look at the number of FireWise communities that we have in this area and the amount of work that's being done by a very small number of people, we are a model for the rest of the nation.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought up that comment about cost, because the California fires alone were in the $2 to $3 billion range to fight those fires. I think the ratio, and you correct me if I'm wrong in this, but it's about $24 to 1 when you talk about preventing a fire versus fighting a major fire. So obviously we should be trying to stress, we don't want these major fires to come into our city. And I just, I applaud all the actions of all the organizations we get to work with through PAWIC. They're unbelievably professional, very cooperative, very respectful of each other, and I've been incredibly impressed by that.
Well, and one of the things that we've gotten used to in this area is the ability to sit down and just talk like friends. We've the lines that exist in other areas, I'll talk to the chief about this when we come back from the break, but the cross-boundary project, you know, this only works if Prescott just decides that it's going to take care of Prescott. That's ridiculous, because we're surrounded by state and federal lands. And if the state and federal properties decide that they really don't care about Prescott, they're just going to worry about their stuff, we're destined for failure. So the cross-boundary project, the idea that we're becoming FireWise, that they're using mitigation practices in the forest to make for a healthier forest, the idea that we all come together in case there is a fire start to do what we can to try to keep it as small and get to it as quickly as possible, I mean, this makes this area a model for the nation and a wonderful place to live, as scary as it is.
I think so, too. And we all attended that cross-boundary conference, and it was terrifically attended, some great small group conversations. I was very impressed by the computer models that are being generated as far as predicting where fires might go and where we should, you know, really be focusing our attention on thinning projects, on getting ready to fight a major fire because one particular area looks like it's so potentially dangerous.
And we're going to get into a lot of that when we start talking to Chief Light, because PAWIC's idea is we're going to have neighbors helping neighbors, connect properties to decrease fuel load, keep fire on the ground, make it that, you know, homes are savable and fires are able to be fought in the wildland urban interface. Unfortunately, what happens the next step is when we do have those fires in the wildland urban interface, then we have to do some suppression. So PAWIC's job is get the message out there, help people get funding so that they can do their projects, support them, show them what they need to do, bring them together with other like-minded people so that we can get more work done as a community than, you know, singularly. And when we come back from the break, now we're going to talk about what the efforts of the Prescott Fire Department in the prevention area, as well as what the Prescott Fire Department and all of our partners, both county, state, and federal in the area, are tasked with doing in the case of a major wildland fire. And the one thing I'll say before we go to the break is, I think that California has, Chief, do you know how many Cal Fire engines do they have? 500? 1,000?
Yeah, it's off the chart.
And 1,000 fire trucks, each coming from a different agency,
right.
They still watch hundreds of thousands of acres burn. So we, as your fire department and our partners, cannot stop a catastrophic wildfire if they can't do it with a few thousand engines. So that's why we're talking about the things we're talking about today. So you're listening to the Talk of the Town on KQNA 1130 AM and 99.5 FM in Prescott, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, and streaming live worldwide at KQNA.com. And we'll be right back.
The open Affinity RV, you get a home weather view.
This is Bob Bean of Affinity RV Service, Sales, and Rentals, and we're proud to be a long-time local business with three locations to serve you. Willow Creek Road, Prescott, Highway 69 in Prescott Valley and Dewey, and online all the time at AffinityRV.com.
Affinity RV, bringing family and lifestyles together.
You rock! And so does Prescott Dirt. Hey, this is Sam. Is your landscaping looking a little drab? Bring it back to life with Prescott Dirt. And this is where Prescott Dirt really rocks. Whether it's a small DIY project or you want to reinvent your entire yard, we have just the right amount and size rock to suit your project. Stop by either of our locations in Prescott or Prescott Valley and make your yard rock as much as you do. We're Prescott Dirt. Find us online at PrescottDirt.com.
Seventy-five years ago, a group of leaders had the vision to realize how important locally governed, not-for-profit healthcare would be to the fabric of our growing community. They rolled up their sleeves, and Prescott Community Hospital opened its doors. As the years passed, there were many changes. Prescott Community Hospital became Yavapai Regional Medical Center, but two things didn't change. That same can-do spirit grew stronger than ever, and YRMC continued to be a point of pride for our community. Today, YRMC is still your not-for-profit healthcare provider, operating solely on patient revenue and generous community support. And yes, we continue to be locally governed, which means that your healthcare is our only priority. As we celebrate our 75th anniversary, we'd like to thank you, our family, friends, and neighbors. Because of you, YRMC is 75 years strong.
The talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A.
Good afternoon, and thanks for making the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A, your choice for your Wednesday. I'm Link Elliott with a check of news and weather together on Talk of the Town, brought to you by Affinity RV. With people hitting area trails due to the warmer weather, the Yavapai County Sheriff's Office is sharing some tips to keep you from getting lost. Yavapai County Sheriff's Office spokesman Dwight Dievlin explains you should always bring someone with you on your hike and let family or friends know of your plans.
Never hike alone. Never leave without telling someone where you're going, your intended route, how long you'll be gone, and your expected return. Stay put once you're in trouble, lost, and or have called for help.
Dievlin says you should be prepared for anything that may happen.
Carry the appropriate equipment for current and expected weather and terrain. Carry adequate communications such as a fully charged cell phone, a GPS unit, a radio, or a location transmitter.
The Yavapai County Sheriff's Office search and rescue team has already rescued a 15-year-old hiker from Sedona Butte. Last Thursday, the Coconino County Sheriff's Office assisted a hiker who was lost and another who was injured in the West Fork Trail area. The Yavapai County Attorney's Office has received a grant for an upcoming national summit.
The two-day summit will highlight best practices for 24/7 sobriety programs. The sobriety model provides for frequent alcohol and drug testing of participants with immediate and appropriate sanctions for violations. The $5,000 in grant funding from the Governor's Office of Highway Safety will cover the cost of three Yavapai County adult probation officers to attend the national summit in Sacramento, California in April. Yavapai County Attorney's Office representatives say the 24/7 program will provide new ways to reduce the toll of alcohol and drugs in the area and throughout the state. I'm Bill Monroe reporting.
Taking a look now at your KQ&A weather. Clouds roll in tonight for rain late tomorrow and Friday. Expect an overnight low of 44 tonight in the Prescott area with a high of 69 tomorrow and a high of 61 on Friday. 49 degrees tonight for Cottonwood and the Verde Valley with a high on Thursday of 77 and a high on Friday of 69. Talk of the Town will continue after this. I'm Link Elliott for the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, and 95.5 FM. KQ&A.
Do you want a chance to win a free lunch at Prescott Brewing Company? Just check our website or follow us on Facebook to find out this week's lucky lunch letters. We draw them every Friday, and if the letters we draw match your first and last name initials, yay, you win a free lunch the following Tuesday. Or find out the old-fashioned way. Just pick up the phone and call us at 771-2795. Prescott Brewing Company, your small-town feel with a big-world taste in the heart of downtown Prescott.
This is Dave Barrett of Barrett Propane. We support several local activities, and the Kiwanis Auction is one of my favorites. For 70 years, the Kiwanis Auction has raised money for the kids of our community. Help the kids and get great deals by tuning in to the Kiwanis Auction weeknights, March 26th through April 6th, between 7 and 10 p.m. on Cable Channel 64 or streaming live on the web at PrescottKiwanisAuction.com. You'll find great deals on food, golf, tools, furniture, clothing, sports tickets, and more. You can get almost anything at the Kiwanis Auction, and yes, you can even buy propane from Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
Baby chicks have been a part of Americana for as long as I remember. These tiny little fluff balls have always been a sign of spring and were in every rural family's backyard. They grew up to lay fresh eggs and were great at keeping the garden pests down. Well, you can have a part of this great rural tradition. This is Steve Sishka with Olson's Four Healthy Animals. We have a great assortment of baby chicks and the know-how and accessories to keep them healthy once they head home with you. All you have to do is to come into any one of our five stores in Chino, Prescott, Dewey, Flagstaff, and Clarkdale and pick out your assortment. 5 months later, when you wake up in the morning, you'll be cooking the best eggs you've ever tasted. Go to olsonsfamily.com to plan your purchase. Speaking of purchases, there's a way for you to see the wildly successful Boys and Girls Clubs of Central Arizona's Dancing for the Stars in person without having to purchase a ticket. Just come into Olson's in Prescott or Chino, take a picture with a life-size cutout of a local celebrity dancer, and send it in on Instagram. You could win a pair of those coveted tickets. Details in the stores.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, Sherry Heine.
And once again, you didn't get Sherry Heine. You got me, Don Devendorf, Division Chief Fire Marshal with the City of Prescott Fire Department. And I'm your guest host this afternoon here at the Talk of the Town at KQ&A. And we're talking wildland fires. First half of the show, we spent quite a bit of time with Dr. Michael Orr, the chairman of the Prescott Area Wildland Urban Interface Commission, also known as and accessible as Yavapai Firewise, on the prevention part, what the work that can be done in the area to keep small fires from getting large and even try to keep some small fires from even starting in the first place. And now we're going to change gears a little bit to go to my boss, Fire Chief Dennis Light of the Prescott Fire Department. And we're going to start off talking about what the fire department does in the prevention realm for trying to keep wildland fires from starting or getting large in the city of Prescott. Hello, Chief.
Well, first off, Don, I appreciate you hosting this afternoon, and Dr. Orr, it's nice to share the console here with you this afternoon. You know, I kind of refresh myself a little bit back from my days dealing with fire prevention, and I keep coming back to these things that I learned when I went through fire prevention school, and they always talked about the four E's. The four E's being engineered, education, enforcement, and extinguishment. Well, in recent times, one of those ease has been added to it, and that's economic feasibility. You know, we'd like to be everything to everybody, but the reality is we have a very efficient yet finite human resources to execute a lot of the tasks on the ground. That said, I think Prescott and the Prescott Basin region is really kind of leading the nation in some of its preventative efforts. We spoke a little bit earlier about the cross-boundary projects. You know, it's very easy to do things unilaterally. I don't have a lot of hoops to draw through if I can control the piece or the message. But working collectively and cooperatively, I think we get more bang for the buck. And as Dr. Orr alluded to, you know, anecdotally, it's about $24 of suppression costs to suppress a fire for every dollar expended on prevention. So us within the Prescott Fire Department take our responsibility serious to the community. The other element is there's personal accountability at the community level. For fire preventive actions to be received and respected, it really takes grassroots efforts. And some of the ones that Dr. Orr mentioned and one I'll kind of key in is the neighborhood that I just happened to move into is Pinyon Oaks, where just recently they took it upon themselves as a neighborhood to proceed and pursue becoming Firewise. They were able to do some grant work on the north subdivision above Pioneer Parkway. And I've seen the grant for the south side, and hopefully we'll get that funded as well. So, but all that comes with grassroots efforts. And, you know, as recent as last Thursday, I went out and met with a couple in their home out off Longview, off Williamson Valley Road. And it's just amazing to hear the testimonial. A lot of folks just don't understand the significance of wildfire, being they're coming from parts of the country that aren't accustomed to it. So part of it is the messaging, but the other piece is being ready to respond if and when a fire does occur in our community. And I can assure our community that we will do our darndest to save what we can save, but firefighter safety remains paramount in my mind as well.
So what prevention efforts does the Prescott Fire Department specifically provide in the wildland realm?
Well, a couple things. For new developments, we are the body that applies the Wildland Urban Interface Code, or the WUI code, as it's commonly referred to. It has different development standards than just the International Fire Code. It goes above and beyond what would be expected for ordinary construction in a flatland, non-wildland urban interface area. We also will provide site assessments for folks that are interested in seeing exactly what may or may not be effective to treat their property. City residents can call 777-1700 and speak to a person and get some added information. Really, it's about creating defensible space. And when we I think the biggest misnomer out of that is it doesn't mean clear-cutting. And I hear that just about every conversation. I think as recently as some of the current projects that are ongoing, you'll have folks that are less informed perhaps come up and say, oh, you're cutting down all the good trees. The reality is you are creating a healthier forest environment. And when we met, oh, probably about 3 weeks ago with, I commonly say, our green, our red, our yellow, and our white partners, the green representing the Forest Service, the red representing municipalities and fire districts, the yellow representative of Bureau of Land Management, and then the white being representative of the Department of Forest and Fire Management. All those partners work hand in hand to create good projects, good prescriptions to create defensible space, which in turn protects property and ultimately has the potential to save lives as well.
Well, when you get back, so now we can be a little more specific, because FireWise does what FireWise does. But in the city of Prescott, having the Wildland Urban Interface Code, we have adopted specific criteria for vegetation management for new construction for areas that are within the Wildland Urban Interface. And Dr. Orr spoke about this a little earlier, but I want to take a chance to talk about it. There's a zone approach to vegetation management around structures within the Wildland Urban Interface. The first thing that you talked about was construction. The first thing is we don't allow shake shingles in Prescott anymore. There's just too many problems with them. The second thing is that we have fire-resistant siding. Now, if you want to do your house in wood, you can do your house in wood, but you will not get it signed off if you have any vegetation within 10 feet of it. It has certain window requirements, certain door requirements, certain deck requirements, because we know that it is in the area that can be affected by wildland fires. But then as we go forward and we start working on the zone approach, within 10 feet of the house, there's certain things you can do. You can't have limbs underneath the eaves. You can't have any vegetation that, if dry, could carry fire right up to the house. And you can't have anything that is more than one-third the height of the lowest branch on a tree next to it. So the first 10 feet away from your house is meant to protect your house. It also protects your neighbor's house, because that same vegetation, if your house catches fire on the inside, will keep that fire from getting off of your property. So, again, neighbor helping neighbor keeps fires from getting to your house and fires in your house from getting away. Then you get to the second segment, which is from 10 to 30 feet away from the house. And in that area, we allow a lot more vegetation, but we still manage the ladder fuels. And the term ladder fuel says anything that can take fire from the ground and get it up into the trees. So it's still one-third the height, but we allow a lot more vegetation. Vegetation in that area doesn't have to be irrigated, where vegetation within the first 10 feet does. And we also allow groupings of vegetation. And one of the things that we've learned that we can do as we're working these projects is when you look down on the work that's been done, as Dr. Orr said, it looks like a mosaic. There are breaks between clumps of vegetation, and we allow for that. But when you look at it straight on, you can't see any breaks. So when people are watching us take out a bunch of vegetation, what they need to wait for is they need to wait for after the project's done, and then go and look through it. Because if you're looking down on it, it looks a lot different than if you're looking out at it. So we've gotten into a place in our work where we can do really good work that makes the environment more healthy, protects homes, protects lives, protects property, and we can walk away from that feeling good with everyone being happy. That's what we're doing with the Wildland Urban Interface Code. It's not a hammer, and it's not something that's meant to take away people's personal property rights.
Yeah, you're spot on, and you know, it's a delicate balance oftentimes. You know, we want to be respectful of the environment in which we live. We want to promulgate positive forest health and good health. Also, you know, there is the, and this is a really awkward term, but there's the need for fire management. And it doesn't mean we don't manage fires. What it means is allowing fire to do its natural course of work at times is a more effective approach versus out-and-out suppression. Out-and-out suppression is what kind of created this double-headed monster in the overgrowth of our forests to begin with was, for many years, it was go in, fight, no flight, and extinguish all fires. Well, now we're suffering with the bad decisions of the past.
And we're going to talk about the suppression, how we're handling fires, and some more stuff that the Prescott Fire Department, because that's who we work for, specifically does in the realm of wildland urban interface, fuels mitigation, and the like. So you're listening to Talk of the Town on KQNA, 1130 AM and 99.9 FM in Prescott, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, and streaming live worldwide at KQNA.com. And we'll be right back.
Money back from Gettles? Listen up, because this is a cool deal. Earn up to $1,700 in possible rebates with Gettles, the premier Lennox dealer in northern Arizona. The guys and gals at Gettles can help you put cash in your pocket with huge spring savings on a new central AC system. So call now to schedule your free in-home evaluation. 928-772-2751 or visit GettlesHDM.com. That's G-O-E-T-T-L-S. Don't settle. Get Gettles.
How many Augie's locations are there worldwide? Well, the answer, of course, is one. The one and only Augie's, locally owned, locally operated, locally inspired by you, the people of the Quad Cities. Delicious steak, scrumptious salmon, huge shrimp cocktail, the best martinis bar none. Open every day for lunch and dinner and ask about Augie's outdoor patio. The place to dine on Highway 69, the one and only Augie's Frontier Village.
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
Are you looking for the right product at the right price with outstanding customer service? A&E Reprographics brings it all together with a variety of printing that includes banners, business cards, and so much more. A&E Reprographics will get you the best products at the best price, all with our 100% customer satisfaction guaranteed. Stop by one of our three great locations, visit us on our website, or call 442-9116. That's 442-9116.
In this moment, who has your back? Do you know the name of your insurance agent? Does your agent know your name? Or would you call a 1-800 number that connects you to who? Another state? Another country? Get a local independent insurance agent with Auto Owners Insurance. Someone you can call when bad stuff happens. In this moment, get an agent who will protect you in that moment. Hello, this is Susan Morrison. That agent is here at House Chilson Insurance. Come see us today at 400 White Spar Road. We are one of the only locally owned and operated independent insurance agencies left in Prescott.
We did it again. Cliff Castle Casino has been voted the number one casino in Arizona for 19 years in a row. All casinos have slot machines and table games. What they don't have is the level of commitment to guest satisfaction, friendly team members, and a warm and welcoming environment found at Cliff Castle Casino. Visit CliffCastleCasinoHotel.com today and plan your visit. Come and experience everything we have to offer and see why Cliff Castle Casino is number one and the perfect place to play.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, Sherry Heine.
I am not Sherry. I'm Don. Welcome back. It's Don Devendorf, Division Chief with the Prescott Fire Department, and this is Talk of the Town. We've got a few minutes left. I want to be able to close out with a couple questions. First, the Fire Chief, Dennis Light. Chief, what are we doing to get prepared for this wildland season when it looks like it could be a really bad one?
Well, first off, is doing what we're doing here is building some community awareness. As I've kind of alluded to, you know, I think from a suppression perspective, I think each year we go through what's called the Basin Ops Drill, where we pull all the key stakeholders and players together, and we actually drill on wildfires and the potential wildfires. You know, as much as I'd love to, if anybody has a really good rain dance or a snow dance, I'd love to execute it, but I don't think that's even at this point of the season. We're getting a little late in. So I think from a fire suppression perspective, I think we're prepared and ready. But the other piece is that is if you're given a direction or an order, follow those orders. The other elements that we do is, you know, if you were springtime, if we have some needs in your community, specifically the city of Prescott, for chipping. We do chipping services. Folks need to get it to the curb or the right-of-way, and we'll come out and chip. Fridays is kind of dedicated to that. Call 777-1733, and you can arrange that for any of the city of Prescott residents.
Okay, Chief, thanks. Dr. Orr, you got anything in the last minute here?
I'd just like to say I love the chipper crew, and it's been an invaluable service, I think, for our city. There's going to be a magazine article about Powick in the April edition of Prescott Living Magazine, and it'll have some before and after photos, and also let people know our yearly FireWise Expo, which will include many of these organizations I'm talking about, is held downtown on Cortez, just east of the Courthouse Square, starting at 10 ending at 3 on April 21st. There'll be antique fire trucks and other types of things for kids. Smokey the Bear will be there. Lots of educational material.
And it is a good time to come out and meet some of the people that are involved in both the threat mitigation efforts in the area and the people that are going to respond on the fires in the area. There's a lot of information that we can give you about acting safely. Forest Service, for instance, started a program, One Less Spark, One Less Wildfire, a couple years ago. Excellent. Talks about chains on trailers dragging the ground, steel blades on weed whackers or lawnmowers around rocks when you're cutting your grass or cutting your weeds. It talks about using chainsaws safely so that you're not hitting rocks on the ground. It talks about making sure that your tires are filled with air so you don't have a blowout because of the heat in this area. You have a blowout, the wheel hits the ground, all of a sudden you have sparks. So that's a great program. Again, I want to go back and have people go to the Yavapai County Sheriff's Office website and sign up for Code Red so that we can advise you if there is a danger in your neighborhood, because there's a couple different steps to it. There's a pre-notification and then there's a get-out notification. You want to get that pre-notification as quickly as you possibly can. And you want to get brought up to speed on the Ready, Set, Go program so that it tells you what you should do when packing a go bag and being ready to save your stuff. Chief, you got something else to close us out?
No, that's pretty much it. I think from a response piece and the mitigation piece that's in, we're ready as we're ever going to be.
And I can tell you that the Forest Service is spooling up. You're going to see the big heavy air tanker coming to town here pretty quickly. You're also going to see helicopters come into the area. So we've done this before. Like I said, a few hundred engines can't keep thousands of acres from burning in California, but we're going to do the best we can on the Powick side, on the mitigation side, on the prevention side, and on the fire department side. If it does start, we're going to do the best we can to save your lives. Anything else from you guys before I close out?
No, thank you, Don.
Thanks, Don.
Okay, thank you. And that's all the time we have for today. I want to thank my guest, Dr. Michael Orr of the Prescott Area Wildland Urban Interface Commission, and Fire Chief Dennis Light from the Prescott Fire Department. I'm Don Devendorf for the Prescott Fire Department, and I've been your guest host. Prescott Talk of the Town will be back next Monday, or next month, on the third Wednesday at 4 p.m., and we hope you can tune in. Thank you.
You've been listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by Barrett Propane, Gettles High Desert Mechanical, A&E Reaper Graphics, Prescott Dirt, Janessa's Family Hair Care, Augie's, Cliff Castle Casino, House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Brewing Company, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, and Olson's for Healthy Animals. The views expressed on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Talk of the Town on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 in Prescott, and 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.